Good morning.
Morning.
You'll have to bear with me as I'm not quite adjusted to the Sunday school. I don't even know really exactly when to come up, so it's going to be fun, though. All right, please turn on over in your Bibles to the book of Jacob, James. And there's a reason why I said Jacob, and I'll mention that in a little bit. I'm not really sure if, for those who know me, they know that I can kill a lot of time by talking. So I was like debating, like, I don't know how much content I'm going to get through in a class, so we'll see. But I love teaching. I love talking. I like getting interaction from people. I know sometimes that could be difficult maybe in a group this big, but I'm really excited to get the opportunity to come up here and to teach, especially through something as practical as James. And we're actually going to, there's a few reasons why I picked James to go through. James is, you know, as I've gone through and looked at a lot of different topics, James is one of those books that I constantly keep going back to. It's a book that there's just a lot of, I'm going to point to a few verses in a little bit, but there's a lot of verses, you know, oh, I've heard that verse. You know, doesn't the Bible say somewhere something to this effect? You know, doesn't the Bible say you must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger? Well, that's in James. Doesn't the Bible say that we're to consider it all joy when we encounter various trials and tribulations? That's in James. Doesn't the Bible say the I grew up in the NIV, so you have to bear with me. Basically, the prayer of a righteous man is effective, right? That's also in James. Or doesn't the Bible say that to he who knows the good that he ought to do and does not do it, to him it is sin? James. The Bible says friendship with the world is hostility towards God. James. Control the tongue. James. I mean, there's so many different little quick verses, and you know what's really cool is there's only five chapters. Five chapters, and it really packs a punch. And there's a side of this that we'll see. You know, Nolan mentioned on Wednesdays going forward, maybe doing like one or two chapters a week, going through like a book like Ezekiel. And I was like, maybe I should just go through one chapter a week on James. 5 weeks, we would be done, though. So I'm not going to do that. The cool thing is that there's actually a lot of really cool nuggets along the way. And so kind of what I envision is, as we're going through the text, to slow down and to take little topics out of it. You know, there's going to be topics. We'll talk actually about faith and works a lot. And so hopefully maybe we'll talk about, you know, questions that arise. You know, there's a whole bunch of misconceptions on so many different things out there that are pertaining to faith and work, so we'll talk about that. I also want to cover some other things, such as maybe eldership, maybe apostles. Those are some things that are just going to come up. It's going to be a lot of fun. So by way of starting off, I just wanted to quickly tell you kind of like a basic, who wrote it, to whom was it written, when was it roughly written, and why. And I guess where would be another one. So I guess I'll ask you real quick, who wrote the book of James? Okay, yeah, James. James would be an appropriate answer, right? But really, James, the brother of Jesus. To whom was it written? To Christians scattered abroad, which, again, that will be a topic that we'll cover too. And when was it written? This one is one that I'm still undecided, so maybe if I could get feedback afterwards, after class, if you have thoughts on that, I would be willing to listen to you on that. When it was written, it could very well be the first book of the New Testament written. It could be. I'm not going to say that it is, because I just can't prove that, but it definitely could be. It could be mid to late 40s AD, not CE, AD, or it could be even 50. James, the brother of Jesus, Josephus places his death, they'll put it about 62-63 AD. So it definitely was written by then. I'll cover a few things as to different people. I'll try to cover major points. I won't try to go in too much depth. A lot of people will place James as 60 to 90 AD and different things. Basically, what they're going to try to argue is that somebody else wrote this for James because it couldn't have been James, because there's a bunch of reasons for stuff. It's actually kind of funny because I chose James because it was practical, shorter, and it's fun. And I started doing a lot of research on James, and I realized very quickly that on the content surrounding who wrote it and why it was written and who was it written to, there's actually a lot of debate on a lot of that stuff. It actually is, I was like, wow, I thought this was going to be easy, you know? Like, oh, just James, the brother of Jesus, written in 48 AD, and, you know, no, it wasn't like that. There's actually most people I probably would disagree with as far as what the scholarly people say on certain aspects. And we'll kind of cover that. So I guess I want to open this up to you guys. I'm not quite sure how this will all work yet. But if I could get a hand or somebody, I wanted to see what you guys think, or what comes to mind when you hear of James? Or what would you say is a major theme of the book? Or what's a favorite verse? I just want to kind of open that up. If anybody has a comment, what's a theme of the book of James?
Practical advice for Christians. I mean, you're dealing, you hit it in a lot of your opening verses, but, you know, dealing with your attitude. I think, I don't know, if anybody here doesn't deal with their attitude, and they're, amazing. Just because it's tough, especially in their day and age, and in today's day and age, and also controlling your tongue. Oops. That's another one I think is universal. So, I mean, there's very practical applications of spiritual principles.
Absolutely. And that's actually, I put the title, if you look in the bulletin, I put it as James Faith in Action. Basically, practical. I had a lot of different things I thought about naming it as, but that one just seemed to rhyme pretty well. Any other opening comments, thoughts?
One of the things that come to my mind is just about being single-minded. And because James talks about not being a double-minded man in the things that we do, not being a hearer, or just being a hearer, we need to be doing both, but just a singleness and purpose and being faithful. So,
yeah, really good point. Dave?
I also like the way he talks about putting your faith into action, because faith without works is dead. So show your faith through your works.
Yeah.
I think the one thing that comes through real clearly is what Larry mentioned was about attitude, but it was about our attitude towards God, a perspective of ourselves, and his view of us in the mirror so that we can see how we're supposed to be, Jesus being that example, and then how we look at others. And that's not just others outside the body, that's others with inside the body. And it's a revolutionary attitude adjustment in all of those areas, to be able to carry all of this other stuff through for his namesake has so been well bought out.
Yeah, really good points. Again, I think this is going to be a really good class. I know Jared did a really good job. Don't expect me to quite teach to that level. The good thing is, though, it's going to be different. That was more of a timeline. This is going to be more of applicable Christianity. Actually, one of the things that my dad mentioned was the oneness, and that's one of the things I'm going to talk about a little bit. James does mention several times or at least a couple times, he talks about being double-minded. And then he actually, a few times, talks about, you know, God being one, or the Lord is one. So that will be something that I actually am going to bring up. So as far as the name, why did I say turn to the book of Jacob? I guess, by show of hands, who's heard of James as being Jacob before? Not too many hands. Okay, good. So this will be interesting. And unfortunately, you have to bear with me. I'm not a Greek scholar. I'm not a Hebrew. I'm not a Spanish. I'm not any linguistic, you know, professional. But I do enjoy, to some extent, other languages. I didn't really know any other languages other than English until I started learning Spanish in college. And no, my dad didn't teach me that, unfortunately. But when I went to college and I started learning Spanish, I had so much fun learning about languages. And I love languages so much. And unfortunately, I didn't keep up with a lot of that, so I lost a lot of that. And then I decided, well, I want to learn a little bit of Greek. You know, it might be helpful for me down the road. So I actually hired, it was online, it was a Greek tutor. And so I got some Greek tutoring, basically about, you know, going through your alphabet, you know, some basic stuff, not anything advanced. It was somebody from Thessaloniki, which is where it's in Greece. But that was kind of cool. And I actually did learn a few things. And one of the things that I learned, I'm going to bring up today. But if you look, I don't know if any of you guys have those little subscripts. If you look across, mine does, James, a lot of times, in the New Testament, it'll say Jacob in there. It'll say Jacob. You're like, okay, why does that say Jacob? Well, I'm going to kind of cover that today. So, sorry, Quinn. So, the word is, hopefully you guys can see this. Jacobos. And one of the things, in Spanish we have gender, right? Pertaining to language. So masculine words in Spanish end with what letter? O, right? They end with O. Okay? And then feminine end with A a lot of times. So the difference between a guy and a gal would be like niño would be boy and niña would be girl. Okay? Now, and unfortunately in English we don't have that. We just have child. But I don't know if you guys can see this as well. This word in Greek, all the Greek words you're going to see that are masculine actually in with a vowel and an S. It's sigma, but it's S. So some examples, there's endless examples. Apollos, Judas, Cephas. His name is actually Paulos, if you look in the Greek. So Paulos, there's some that are crossover, but you have Joseph's name became Joseph, Barnabas, Petros, which is Peter. And Timothy's name is actually Timotheos. So a lot of Greek words, if they end with a S, a vowel, and then an S, usually it's because it's masculine. Feminine, they just end with a vowel. So Jacobos is actually, that's the Greek word for James. Now what does that look like? What does it look like in English? Looks kind of like Jacob, right? I kind of have this diagram, and I might print it out and bring it later. But the Hebrew word, that's Jacob. It's I don't know if you guys can see it that well. Anybody have a problem seeing it? Okay. Well, from the Hebrew, it transliterated over, and then that's how we got Jacobos. Okay? And actually, in the Spanish Bible, I've looked in my Spanish Bible. Let's say Santiago, and there's a whole reason for that. I'm not going to go into that. If you want my notes, you can look at them. But there's it actually says Jacobo. And so a guy actually, there was this guy, and he had this, he was in this big conference. And he got all these people together, and they were doing a study on the book of James. And there were people from all around the world. They were Spanish, Arabic, I don't know, they were all different places. And he asked them, he said, because they kept having miscommunication. And then he asked them, he says, what are all your Bibles? And almost unanimously, all of their Bibles said some form of Jacob. Except in the English, we have James. See, James actually, from the Greek Jacobos, which it is basically the Greek version of Jacob, the Latin switched it to, it's Jacomos or something. And then actually then from French, then we get Hemis. And then finally, we end up in English at James. Totally different place. Again, I have more notes on here. But I just thought that was really interesting. Now, maybe that would just be a waste of time to consider that. But I also want you to consider, this might also be significant in the fact that Joseph's father, if we go to Matthew chapter 1, because if this is Jacob, the brother of Jesus, or James, the brother of Jesus, and then obviously he'd be the son of Joseph, right? Mary's husband was Joseph. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 15, Eliud was the father of Eleazar. Eleazar the father of Mathan. Mathan the father of Jacob. And Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. So James is going to be the oldest, we'll see, after Jesus. We have Jesus, then we have brother James. Well, it would make sense that his name would be like a Greek version of Jacob, because he's going to be the oldest son to Joseph, and Joseph's dad is actually named Jacob, right? So Joseph is just passing on his dad's name to his oldest biological son. And another reason why that might be significant is the sense of, who's Jacob in the Old Testament?
Israel,
right? So a pretty significant guy. And so it's just cool to see that this guy has a really Jewish background and he has a really significant name, right? And again, I just, you'll have to just bear with me. You guys will have to get used to my teaching style, I guess, and I'll get used to this interaction, but I love going into little nerdy stuff like that sometimes. So that's why I call it the Book of Jacob. Let's go back over to James, though. And I actually want to, we're going to read just James chapter 1. And then I'm going to just bring out a couple things that are consistent through the book. James chapter 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position, and the rich man is to glory in his humiliation, Because like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man, in the midst of his pursuits, will fade away. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then, when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we be kind of first fruits among his creatures. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Just wanted to read that to get acquainted with the text. But I have one of the things I actually have heard a lot of times about James is that it's not really coherent. There's not a theme to it. There are, you know, a lot of people will say, you know, it's, and it is, rightfully they should say this, it is a book of wisdom. But they'll say it's just, you know, it's kind of just more of something that's just randomized. He's just talking about a random point, and then he'll jump to another one. And to some extent, I guess I could say I can see that. But if you just go, I would encourage you to go through and read from the very beginning to the very end. He keeps hitting the same points over and over again. So if he is random, he's just circulating through the same points over and over again. So we've just read chapter 1. There are a few points that I actually want to bring up. Is there anything that sticks out to you guys just from reading that? I have a few points I want to bring up about this. But there are certain words he keeps, there's certain things that keep coming up. Are there any thoughts or questions up at this point? Perfect. Okay, there's three things that I think is there's a contrast. There's three contrasts that I see really consistently in James. Actually, there's multiple, but we're just going to stick to three. Okay? We have pride, money, and tongue. And those seem to be the main issues that I keep seeing over and over again. I mean, we have trials, you know, we have other things too. But that could be a part of, you know, money trials or whatever it might be due to the pride of others. So there's three things that he seems to keep hitting on: pride, money, and tongue. And just from the first chapter, actually, you see that you already see that a few times. He talks of, and so what's the contrast to pride? Humility. How many times does he talk about humility just in the first chapter? Quite a bit. He talks about humbling yourself and humility. I have a bunch of verses that we're not even going to cover, but I'm probably going to bring some paper for you guys next week. But you'll see how many times that he talks about these. Then we have tongue. Or we have money. I'll talk about money. We have money that keeps coming up as an issue. He talks about handling money properly and how people misuse it. What's kind of the contrast to that? I would say wisdom. God's going to talk about wisdom. And then we have the tongue, misuse of tongue. talks about controlling your tongue. Well, another thing that James talks about in contrast to that is actually prayer. James talks about prayer a lot. So again, he's just constantly painting these contrasts. And it kind of makes sense, okay? So again, as I was reading through James over and over and over again, I was like, wow, this thing seems pretty consistent in a lot of ways. Pride, money, and the tongue. Can you see how those three are going to fit together really well? I mean, a lot of people with money might become prideful. And people who become prideful might misuse their tongue. They might become boastful. They might use it to harm other people. Right? I just kept seeing these things over and over again. This is kind of like a progression of stuff that I went through the book of James, and I kind of put it into little bullet points so I could kind of keep track of what was going on. Starting in the beginning, we have trials come. Okay? The trials are going to come, but you got to consider joy. But one needs God's wisdom. Okay, trials come, you need the wisdom of God. Again, that's going to be prayer. When trials come, finances come. Yet he talks about trials, he talks about asking God for wisdom, and he talks about trials again. And then he talks about don't be a talker. Don't just be a talker, be a doer. Be a giver. And then he talks about controlling tongue. Issues arise due to greed. Submit to God. Don't be confident in your future. Okay, James actually talks about this too. He talks about, hey, the person who says, there's a saying that Kevin uses a lot that I actually really like. And he says, if the Lord wills. Thank you, Kevin. And I think that's scriptural. I'll see you Thursday, Kevin, because he comes over on Thursdays, if the Lord wills, you know, and I really appreciate that. Well, James actually brings that up.
Yeah, it's a great point. Don't you think a lot of this is basically who's driving the bus? I mean, because if pride says I'm driving the bus and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. Pride says I'm going to do what I want with my money. You know, pride says, you know, I mean so much of it. And in 1 John chapter 3:16, it says, you know, lust of flesh, lust of eyes, and boastful pride of life. That pride, pride says, okay, hey, if I'm going through sufferings, what can I learn from the Lord? It must be the Lord's doing. I mean, the Lord has a reason for this. You know, so pride allows us to, you know, turn over that control and allows us to deal with all these things. The tongue, I can say whatever I want because, you know, I'm me. Or pride's, you know, and that's pride again, lacking versus, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You know, that then I have to think about it. So, yeah, I like that point, just pride.
Yeah, humility came out really strong when I was looking into this. And there's a side of pride, and that was kind of like what I was alluding to, is that you think that you have everything figured out and you have your future ahead of you. And then he's gonna throw that away and be like, you don't even know if you have tomorrow. You just don't. And then this is all in the context. Again, you're going to see the tongue. He's going to talk about people who are arrogant. They misuse their tongue. You can see how these things can be really harmful. But I really appreciate that, Kevin. If the Lord wills. That's something that I think I want to use more. I think we should all use that more. And maybe you already are. But hey, if the Lord wills, I'm going to go do this. Rather than, you know, when I get older, I'm going to go make a bunch of money over here. And I'm going to retire here. And this is where this is going to happen. And I've already got my whole life lined out. And nobody's going to be able to tell me otherwise. That's just not the mindset we need to have. The mindset is, you know what? What the Lord wills, so be it. Man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Amen? Just consistent themes over and over again that are really, really cool. Okay, we're going to close out today just looking at the different James of the Bible. And there are about five, possibly four James in the Bible, okay? Because we're going to narrow down, If you look in James chapter 1, it just says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So James doesn't specify which James. He just says James. And he, you know, I'm sure they knew exactly who it was. And we're going to kind of look into that. But I want to talk about, there are like five, possibly four. Some people take certain James out of the Bible and they say that these are the same guy. Okay? Anybody want to be brave and throw a James out there? Or I guess raise your hand and, or I'm not exactly sure what would be the most efficient way to do this, but what's one of the James? Okay, James, son of Zebedee, right? James and John, sons of Zebedee, one of the James, right? And James, son of Zebedee, was, what was he? He was an apostle. Now we have another James. How many apostles were named James? There were two. Okay, yeah, we have two James, and then we have two Judases, you know, as apostles. Everybody had the same name. And then it gets really confusing because at the time of Jesus and his death, there were three Marys from what I saw. So, I mean, everybody has the same name back then. I mean, John. It's like going to Russia and everybody's name is Sasha. So, there's a lot of James, okay? And so I will admit sometimes it gets confusing because, you can get mixed up in the names. There are certain things I'm not going to tell you. This is absolutely how it is because I just can't prove that. But we have John, we have two apostles named James. John, the son of Zebedee, and we have John, son of Alphaeus. Okay? Those are the two James that were apostles. And then we have another James. Let's turn on over in our Bible to Acts chapter 1. And we'll read Acts chapter 1, verse 13. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. That is Peter and John and James, that would be son of Zebedee, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, and James the son of Alphaeus. We got two James there. Simon the Zealot and Judas the son of James. There's our third James. Okay? We got three James right there. Two were apostles, and one of them is only mentioned twice. Okay, Judas. Somebody said that I saw somebody put on their article online, and they said that this was James, the father of Judas Iscariot. No, that was not. Okay, so anybody who probably. Nobody would know that, but just extra information. So we have three James so far, two are apostles. One is just the father of one of the apostles, Judas. Then we have a fourth one, which granted could be James, son of Alphaeus. I cannot say with confidence that this is the same guy. Let's go on over to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, verse 56. Actually, verse 55. We'll read verse 55. Many women were looking on from a distance and had followed Jesus from Galilee while ministering to him. Among them was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. If you actually look over, let's go to Mark 3, I believe it is. I might have misled you. Might be Mark 15. Yes, Mark 15:40. Again, this is going to be the same context. Mark 15:40. There were also some women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and Joseph and Salome. Okay, that's where we get the name James the Less. Now, a lot of people will say James the Less is the James son of Alphaeus. Could he be? He could be. But I can't say that that's actually scriptural. Now, it would make sense because James the Less might be, some people say that that was referring to James' brother, I mean, Jesus' brother being James the Less. You know, he's the younger. Or it could be son of Alphaeus, being that he's a lesser apostle. But again, I don't want to put that there because I just can't prove it. And there's another reason why they have that. So we have four James, okay, two are apostles. We have James, father of Judas, the apostle, who's only mentioned very briefly. And then we have another James, James the Less. And then our fifth one, who will that be? It's not too complicated. James, the brother of Jesus. And that is the one that I'm going to say that we're gonna place as being the writer of this book. So let's go to Matthew 13. And next week, we'll probably just talk about James as a person. I'll kind of talk a little bit about that. Today, we're just kind of narrowing down that this is the James, brother of Jesus, who wrote the book. James, Matthew 13, 55. They're talking about Jesus. And then they say, "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, and Joseph, and Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" So Jesus, obviously, I'm going to dispel Catholic myths where I can, okay? Mary had other kids, okay? She did. And you know, why would somebody want to promote that, you know, because they're trying to say Virgin Mary, you know, she was just virgin. If you look in Matthew chapter 1, it says Joseph kept her a virgin until she already had Jesus, right? But what's implied is that then they were married and then they weren't, okay? But here we have James being one of the brothers of Jesus, okay? And a lot of people will say he's a half-brother of Jesus. And the reason for that being, well, because Jesus, his biological dad would not be Joseph, right? He'd just have Mary's genetics from the physical standpoint. So here's a picture of our fifth James, and this is the one that I'm going to kind of walk through next week to kind of prove why I think this is the guy. Any questions or any thoughts? I know this is kind of a lot to take in. Any comments? Any things that you would like to cover in the book of James? Okay, just the book. That sounds pretty good. So with that, we will close up for today, and you guys are dismissed. Thank you.